Brian Harris.
I am Brian Harris. I stay in the Chicagoland area and I retired from the U.S. Army.
Okay, thank you, Brian. And now let's go to Jeannie Murphy.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Jeannie Murphy. I reside in Manhattan, Kansas. I am a U.S. Army veteran and part of the Heartland Regional Group. So that's it for me.
All right, Jerome Richardson.
Jerry Richardson, Southfield, Michigan, U.S. Marine Corps / Army.
John Williams.
I'm John Williams. I reside in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was in the U.S. Navy.
Thank you, John. Keith Helsley.
This is Keith Helsley. I live in Illinois. I was in the U.S. Marine Corps, and I am on the board that takes care of the web page.
Thank you, Keith. Kelly Reamer.
I'm Kelly Reamer. I'm from Silver Lake, Kansas, and I'm an Army veteran.
Thank you, Kelly. Michonne Harrison.
My name is Michonne Harrison. I'm the president for the Mid-Atlantic Regional Group, and I'm Army.
Thank you, Michonne.
Oh, and
And
I live
let's
in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm sorry.
okay, thank you. And let's go to Sheldon McKinney.
My name is Sheldon McKinney. I'm out of Rowlett, Texas, United States Army.
We missed something there.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Sheldon. One more time.
Okay, Sheldon McKinney, United States Army. I'm out of Rowlett, Texas.
All right. And Zach Tidwell.
I am in Denver and I'm a devil dog.
Okay. For those that don't know what a devil dog is, can you explain?
Devil dogs are Marines.
Okay.
I knew, yeah.
And let's go to Chris Semple.
Chris, can you hear yourself? Are you muted?
Yeah, I think he is. He is. He's muted.
It's a she.
She's muted. Oh, okay.
No, it's a he.
Oh, I thought it was a she. I'm sorry. I thought you had somebody climbing a rock wall that had that name.
That would have been Michonne climbing the rock wall.
Oh, okay. You had the wrong name for Michonne.
Yeah, we
All
did.
right, Kerwin Davis.
My name is Kerwin Davis. I'm from Oklahoma and I'm Army.
Thank you, Kerwin. And Monica Gilmore.
Greetings. My name is Monica Gilmore. I am located in North Carolina, Knightdale, North Carolina, and I am a U.S. Army veteran.
Thank you. And Terry Dodge.
Terry.
Terry, there I am. Terry Dodge, Rockford, Illinois, in Northern Illinois, and I'm a jarhead, and I'm the one that developed the annex.
Great. He does a good job with our annex page. And Charles Miller.
Charles, is he muted?
Yeah, it looks like he's muted.
Okay. All right. Did you get Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, y'all already know who I is. My name is David King, the host of this. And so we're gonna try to get a little bit, few things just to explain. Technically speaking, tonight we're okay. We wanted to do some switching around of some things that we talked about yesterday, but we're not able to do it right now. But from the meantime, in between time, what we're going to do is go ahead and give you a few rules. If when the speaker, Brian, go ahead and do this part
Yeah.
for me.
Okay.
You'll get to do it.
When we get started, I want everybody to mute their microphones ahead of time, and because there will be a question and answer period after the speaker is done speaking. So, but keep your mics muted so there's no interruptions. If you have any devices on in the background, like voiceover or whatever, please turn that off, or your TVs, please turn it off so we can listen to what the speaker has to say without interruption. And that's pretty much it. Just wait for the instructions, the prompts later on in the program, and we'll keep you posted on what's going on. So tonight our guest speaker is Paul Mims. Paul is the president of the BVA. It's a national program, and I'm going to let him talk about it. And let's sit back and relax, hear what Paul has to say. Paul, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Thank you. And I'm late. I read my calendar wrong, and so I apologize for that. I thought I was going to be on in about 30 minutes from now.
No problem. All right, why don't you enlighten us what you have to say?
Geez, I don't know what you don't know about me, so I'll just start out basic. I am the president of the Blinded Veterans Association. I've been a member for, 38 years now. And so I definitely believe in it, support it, and have been an active member in it for most of the time that I've been in it. Even while I went back to college, I was still active. And I became less active when I was actually an employee at the Kansas City Vet Center as a counselor, because I couldn't get the time away for meetings during the day because of my caseload on the job there. But I left that job to go to West Palm Beach, where I was a computer skills instructor at that blind rehab center. And then following that, I was the VIS coordinator at West Palm Beach until I retired in 2009. So during the time I was a computer skills instructor and VIS coordinator from regional group, and was actually a district director, vice president, and president of the Florida regional group before I moved back from Florida because of my wife's medical needs when I retired. Right now, I am retired, and obviously still active in BVA. And because I'm, in the position I'm in now, I'm hard pressed to do much of anything else, but I'm still active in my church and try to keep it down to that. And so I guess I'll be, more excited to talk about, to answer your questions, but I will say that as a member of the board this year, moving along the track that we have, we've accomplished a few things that, of course, I believe are successes. I think that it was culminated at our midwinter with a very good midwinter board meeting. We actually had some good hill visits this year. We didn't try to make as many as we did last year, Brian. So you would have been able to live through this one. We had some pretty successful visits with the ones that we did have. And I will say that even our visit to VA Central Office, was an event that you'll be hearing about later as we release some details, but it was significant on our trek around DC this year, in what happened during that visit. As we are looking now, I'll just say a couple of things that, I brought about that I hope the membership are responsive to is the fact that for years, even before I got to this position, there was commentary about the board never lets us know what they're doing. We never know what the board's doing. The board just does stuff. It doesn't tell us anything. So I've tried to make that what is, you know, truly the past. And so now, if anybody wants to look, our meeting minutes are posted on the website once they're approved. And so you can at least see the work that we've been doing. And the other thing that I did that I'd like to talk about is I created what's called Team BVA. I know that's a term that's been around for a while. I used it differently. And what I did is I put the chairs of our programs onto Team BVA and created basically a super committee out of it. And so I had the chair of Blind Veteran Dog Handlers, who happens to be Michonne. I've got the chair of the Women Veterans Group, who is right now Yannicka Trent. And I've got the director of Adaptive Sports and Recreation Program, who, because I don't know why I always forget Anthony. I can never remember Anthony's last name, but anyway, all these people are doing a good job with their programs in trying to move them forward. And I'm really pleased with them. I did have a fourth program on there, which was spiritual outreach. And I made a decision to suspend that program because the way that it was building out was actually not in compliance with the bylaws and could at some point again be threatening to the charter that we have. And very honestly, when I proposed that to the chaplain, he insisted that that meant that he was fired. And so I let him travel with that information, and I just said, okay, then fine, you're fired. Was my intention to fire him, but he insisted that he was. So I granted what, got to seem like his wish. I will be bringing the spiritual outreach program. I have to rewrite some more details in the description of the program and offer more guidance than, very honestly, I admit that the chaplain had before, and put some ceiling on, some efforts that should happen that didn't happen before. After convention, I will be looking for another chaplain, and we will be revisiting that as another program. The super committee, Team BVA meets once a month. One thing that some of you may not know, but one of the things that they've been asked to do by the vice president, Wade Davis, who moderates that Team BVA, is to submit budgets for what they want to be doing for activities in the next fiscal year that starts July 1st. So those budgets have been submitted, and the board is going to be considering those budgets. And, my hope is that there won't be anything in there that we can't approve, so that we can turn those back to the program chairs and they can start working with their program participants and carrying out, those activities that they want to have during the coming year. What I like about Team BVA and when I formed it was that each one of those programs was tasked with having a monthly meeting. And from that meeting, of course, that's touch points with the membership. And so the membership of the participants of those programs, which are encouraged to attend, is the touch point where those members can give input to the program chairs. For instance, Blind Veteran Dog Handlers, what are the membership that attend the meeting want to see Blind Veteran Dog Handlers do? Women Veterans Group, what do the women that are attending that meeting want the Women Veterans Program to do? And same thing with Adaptive Sports and Recreation, which has been a hot button for years. And so we're trying to get some input from the entire membership on exactly what do we want to do as BVA with this program? What do we want to have for the Adaptive Sports and recreation activities. And so the vice president moderates that meeting. And so the summaries of those meetings are submitted to the vice president, who brings them to the board. The board can read those summaries and feedback information through the vice president back to the team BVA when they have their monthly meeting. And so it's a big, it's what I proposed as a beginning of more communication between the members at, you know, at the level that they exist, having input into the programs in which they can participate, and it goes directly to the board, and from the board you get information directly back through these programs that as they meet as Team BVA. I think communication is important in trying to improve what has been going on in the organization. Some of it has been going well, but it could go better, and some of it we all know has not been going well. And I hope that communication will, you know, in the eventuality, improve it. We're looking at a convention coming up, and this was a different convention than it's ever been. We are co-located with the American Council of the Blind, and we're having our convention while they're having their convention. They are the big dog, and we are the puppy, in that they control a lot of what goes on in terms of what resources we actually manage and control. But we have control over the aspects of that convention that we need to. So we have our program schedule already laid out for the convention. It's a compact format compared to other conventions. And so the ACB convention begins on July 5th, and it runs until July to Friday. Our convention, as far as the BVA's convention, will begin July 7th, which is Sunday. And we'll be convening the 8th and 9th with our business meetings. In addition, we'll have the Father Carol Luncheon on the 8th, and we have a BVA Gala on the 9th, which is another meeting that involves a meal and awards presentations. And we'll have awards presentations at both of those events, the Father Carol and the Gala. So we did away with a president's reception, in great part because the arrangements that we could make wouldn't really allow for that in the format that it has been. And we'll just do without that. We're working on preserving, in some sense, the hospitality room. Again, we don't have control over the assignment of rooms and resources. Florida Regional Group is hosting that. I don't think there's anybody here from Florida, but they're hosting the hospitality room because it's in their state. And so we've talked with them about the arrangements for that. And we're still working on that, but there will be a hospitality room in some form. And so the details for that are coming. I will try to answer what questions I can about the arrangements and details of the hotel and I guess the operation of the organization and whatever else you want to ask. I'll try to come up with an answer.
And Paul, can you discuss a little bit about your testimony before the House of Representatives?
Sure can. Okay. Yep. As president, I was honored, if you will, with the responsibility of presenting our legislative agenda and priorities for the coming year to the Joint House and Senate Veteran Affairs Committee. That was done on March the 6th. And I presented with nine other veteran service organizations during that time period that we were there. I will say I had the honor also before the presentation started to have Elizabeth Dole seated next to me in anticipation of her delivering some comments to the Senate Veteran Affairs Committee. Well, House and Senate Veteran Affairs Committee. And so while she did that, I actually got to chit-chat with her. Stuart Nelson was able to get my picture with her. And so that was, I think, a lot of you that have, if you've read the BVA Happenings, you've seen that picture. And so after she gave her comments, then they moved her away. And then somebody else sat next to me. Is a, I guess, Afghan and Iraqi Veterans Association. So I sat next to, you know, their representative after that. But I was able to deliver our testimony and cover most of the points that we had in the written version of our testimony. So to them, it was regurgitated in essence, but the points that I covered were basically the fact that we and BVA are interested in the development of a federal committee on equal access. And I think all of you know that as blind veterans, especially if you travel there by yourself, it's a very tenuous experience. And so there are other ideas that branch off of that. But when you have to go to the pharmacy and you got to stand out there and you're looking at this big screen and you can't see it, then it does you no good. But they don't have, if most facilities don't have an alternative. So your access to the services in pharmacy have been altered, starting with the fact they expect you to check in at the done, then they want you to go there and be subject to figuring out how you're going to know when your name is called so you can get your medications. And then when you got to the appointment, you know, for travel, okay, how do you sign out with travel and get any reimbursement? And so those things, you know, are things that we addressed during our testimony. We advocated for the continuing efforts on the part of VA to, I'll say, determine and then establish and promote services for women veterans. That effort is ongoing, and I pointed out to them that the women veterans are going to be the largest, they're the fastest growing proponent of our population now. And by 2030, we expect the women veterans population to be about 36% of the total veteran population. That's a significant number of veterans that need services. And so the VA can't go by without developing services that meet the needs of this significant part of our veteran population that's growing faster than any other part. Veteran guidance service dogs, handlers, are constantly threatened by not only the irritation of these little yippy yaps that are running around, the chihuahuas and the like, that are not really service dogs. They're just there because somebody wants to be able to bring a dog. And it, in many cases, they're just an irritation to real service dogs, but they still are a hindrance to veterans with guidance service dogs being able to access the hospital in the way that they need to. And then we've got other dogs, which are larger dogs, which most guide and service dogs are supposed to be larger dogs anyway. And so somebody brought in one case that's most tragic, and I mentioned, was a veteran brought in a pit bull. And he was sitting in the lobby in the waiting room, and whatever he was paying attention to, it wasn't his dog. And his dog saw somebody with a service dog walk by. The dog, the pit bull bolted for the dog. The veteran didn't have the leash. The service dog summarily was, it's actually a guide dog. It was attacked by the pit bull. That dog eventually was taken out of service almost immediately. And 12 days later, the dog died. And so for somebody to say, well, we should be able to bring our dogs too. That's fine if you bring your dogs, but those dogs need to be trained and they're not. And the VA does nothing to eliminate those dogs that have not been properly trained. And so they're actually allowing a very visible and viable threat to veterans that are blind or visually impaired traveling with guide or service dogs in the medical center. We've got, I spoke to the need for better mental health in VA. And the VA right now is resistant to using PAs, psychiatric, you know, as psychiatric assistants and physician's assistants to help deliver mental health care. And so they're insisting on psychologists and psychiatrists, and there aren't enough, and they don't have enough on staff. So there's not enough mental health care available for veterans that need it. And I think all of you know that at some point, whether you took it or not, you were a prime and candidate for mental health care at whatever point you lost your vision, whether it was after you got out or while you were on active duty. It's a loss. It's a very heavy set of grief-related issues that each one of us has had to resolve. And when we got to that depth of depression that we all went through, and I know everybody went through it, it's a matter of whether you go there and then encounter that and try to get out by yourself, or whether you finally get some help in getting out, because you didn't get there by yourself. There's no reason why you have to get out by yourself. And the VA needs to provide adequate mental health care to help people when they get out of the depression of the onset of any traumatic loss. And that's basically what veterans are dealing with constantly, is traumatic losses in their lives, whether it's vision, whether it's limbs, whether it's just your other issues related to post-traumatic stress disorder, or anything else in terms of anxiety disorders and other medical. If we need mental health care, we need to be able to access that mental health care. The VA needs to provide it. And we talked about the fact that anyone who was injured on active duty, even if they didn't muster out at that time, if they were in any way disabled by their injury, when they do finally muster out, They have to take a hit on the disability benefits and their retirement pay. And the two of them combined can't be more than the retirement pay. And if you were disabled on active duty and due disability benefits, we're arguing that you should be entitled to those full benefits of your because of your disability, and you should be entitled to the full benefits that you earned as you spent your time to get to retirement age. And right now, that's not the case. And we're advocating, along with several other veteran service organizations, to see that those full benefits are restored to those veterans that are eligible and entitled, if you will, for those benefits. And we, you know, fully support action of Congress on seeing that this is reversed within the VA, because the VA is not going to do it by themselves. It's a budgetary issue. And of course, we continue to advocate for the provision of blind rehabilitation services, and that blind rehabilitation services is adequately funding. And I pointed out that right now, what's happened in recent years, the last 3 to 5 years, they rolled over low vision veterans onto the roles of the VIS coordinators, effectively doubling from about 40
thousand veterans that were involved in VIST services to 81,000 that are now involved in VIST services. And I think all of you may know that while that happened, we didn't get extra VIST coordinators in most stations. So those stations that have over 500 on their VIST roster should be having a second VIST coordinator. And that hasn't happened. So as we try to access those services that we are due as blinded veterans, our VIST coordinators are too busy doing other stuff to properly serve us. So where that suffers initially and most greatly is, you know, Joe wants to go to blind rehab. Joe can't get into blind rehab because the VIST coordinator is too busy to help him fill out his application and submit it to the blind rehab center. That's the biggest place that it breaks down. Joe lives out in a rural area. So the VIST coordinator is tasked with arranging beneficiary travel so Joe can be picked up on the farm that he lives on and transported to the train, bus, or air terminal that he needs to access in order to get his or her transportation to a rehab center, whether it's blind rehab or any other rehab center, as a blind veteran. And then that process is reversed so that that veteran is transported back home when they leave the rehab facility and taken back to their doorstep. The VIST coordinator is a significant partner in providing that access to us that need it. And it's falling apart if the VIST coordinator doesn't have enough time to get to that veteran's case, provide that case management, and get these veterans to the rehab centers that they want to go to.
Okay, Paul, and I'm going to have to interrupt you there.
I was going to say
we're running out of time.
Those are my points, but okay, go for it.
Okay, yeah, let's. I got a couple of hands up already. Let's take.
Go ahead,
Brian Harris. You had a question.
Yeah, Brian.
Brian Harris.
If not, Monica is open too.
Okay, Monica, let's go with you.
Hello, Monica.
Hello. Mr. Mims, this is Monica Gilmore. My question to you in regards to the chaplaincy, I heard you mention Alexa, that stop. We no longer... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay,
I heard you mention that. My Alexa came on with a routine. I had to shut it down. Go ahead.
Okay, I heard you say that we no longer have a chaplain. Right. And that... My question to you is, are we going to revisit the program that you said that, I guess, they were trying to implement in regard to having chaplain placed, you know, in our areas within the BVA so we can, each regional group can have one locally or a chapter of the regional group. And so that's my first question. Are we going to revisit that, and is there an option to have the previous chaplain that you just got rid of to come back after you discuss those options, or are we just going to look for a different chaplain?
Okay. Question one, there has always been, well, I would say always, there has been for several years currently the ability for regional groups to have a chaplain. Those are appointed positions. Mm-hmm. And any regional group that wanted to add another person to their officership, if you will, could have appointed a chaplain. And because of that, my original idea of expanding the work of the chaplain was for the chaplain to engage with these regional group chaplains by contacting them and offering them some leadership and guidance in the performance of their duties as appointed chaplains by the regional groups. So that's been there for a while, and that was the premise of the spiritual outreach program in the first place. I thought that was, you know, a novel idea in order to expand the effectiveness of those chaplains in terms of a program that involved things like buddy checks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that regional groups could, by using those chaplains, you know, reach out to people when people need spiritual guidance, contact, whatever. And so therefore utilize those chaplains and make them meaningful parts of the regional group leadership. What went off the rails, and one thing that, you know, threatened our chapter is through his efforts with being a member of American Legion and DAV, he engaged chaplains from those groups to come into BVA and participate inside BVA. That challenged our charter. It threatened our charter. We are not a religious recruiting organization. And so that was the first and biggest thing that he did that threatened our chapter. The other thing is he was trying to build a chaplaincy program according to his guidelines, and he disregarded the bylaws and tried to build that. So what I did was suspend that program and the development of it, because we need to rewrite what the guidelines are going to be. And like I said, in the meeting I had with him, I told him I was suspending the program. He insisted he was being fired. After an hour of that, I decided I wasn't taking any more of listening to the call fact that he thought he was being fired.
And you didn't answer. You'll be next.
So that's what happened with that. As I said earlier, I plan on reviving that program, because I started in the first place because I recognized that members need spiritual guidance.
Right.
Spiritual touch points. And so I will be bringing that back. It will be possibly, very likely, with a different chaplain.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. So to answer my question, I do believe what you're saying is there is not an option for him and you guys to, especially you, to revisit that together and possibly be a chaplain again, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not. At this point right now, we don't have a chaplain.
Okay.
When we need a chaplain, we will be recruiting a chaplain. If he wants to throw his hat in the ring again, he can, but he will be, you know, considered along with other possible candidates for chaplain.
Yes, sir.
And I understand. And I want to clarify here that it was his insistence that he be released, not mine.
Yes, sir. Thank you for answering my questions, Mr. Mim.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, Brian Harris is next, and then Michonne. Brian, go ahead.
I'm going to let Michonne speak because I am a board member. I want our guest.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Michonne, Mid-Atlantic Regional Group President.
Hi, Michonne.
Hi, President Mims. I wanted to find it because you were talking about transparency and letting everybody know what the members know what's going on up in the board. I was curious, first, are we going to finally get a, I have two questions. Are we going to finally get a financial statement that we can see? We didn't get that last year. Secondly, the hiring practices within the BVA, I understand that we have a new person in membership, and it seems that the only person that was advertised was Bridget Jones' position. Any other time, we just get people put in positions without other members given the opportunity to apply for those positions. I wonder why that is, and is that something it's concerning to a lot of us, and why is it like that, and can he change it?
Okay, let's see. Repeat question one again so I'm clarified.
The financial statement, I don't recall getting one at the last convention, and we haven't seen one thus far.
Okay.
And I know that we're getting requests for us to participate and donate, but we're not seeing a financial statement from where we stand right now.
Okay. We do have a proposed budget, and that is going to be coming out. And I'm hoping that it comes out, the proposed budget comes out before the convention. because it doesn't make sense to vote on the budget at the convention and you haven't had a chance to review it.
Right.
So, combination of the executive director, director of development, director of legislative and policy, and the treasurer are getting together, and we should have that financial statement as the proposed budget coming out by the end of this month, beginning of next month. So it'll be released and hopefully be part of a town hall that precedes the convention, so that can be open for review. I don't know that there's going to be, excuse me, a lot of input that might change that, but at least it'll be there for review. And the important part of that is that you review it and know what it is we're planning to do, what we're going to use to finance that, and therefore be voting from an informed point of view when you as the membership vote on the approval of that budget. The second thing on hiring, in the organization that we have as BVA, of course, we have the board. And we have a staff. The organization involves an executive director. An executive director supervises the staff. The organization has conducted the hiring of staff. The board, however, beyond the membership being the ultimate authority in the organization, when it comes to upper level leadership, the staff answers to the board. And so it's great. It's sometimes a complex relationship, but Don Overton or Tim Hornig is not my boss. By the charter, I am the CEO of the BVA. The next president will assume that role as well. So there is intercommunication between the board and the leadership of the staff. And so given that, I do have, you know, some input. And so did previous presidents. What I'm finding out is the way that they intervened was not fully enough in assuming that role. And so there is a point in history that I can tell you because I was on the board then. In fact, it happened right after I got on the board when I knew nothing about what was going on. The board actually voted to abdicate all of their authority to the executive director and let the executive director make all the decisions to run the organization. Where we are now, that was Al Avena as executive director. And since then, we've had Joe Bogard as executive director. And the board started getting some of that authority back. And as Don Overton has been executive director, one of the things that he's done and what Joe McNeil started doing and what I'm continuing to do as president is get the authority and responsibility of the board back with the board of directors. So now the board secretary is acting like the secretary to the board of directors. The treasurer is acting like he's the treasurer of the board of directors and the organization. The vice president, who's just been sitting there waiting to be president, now has active duties. And I started that when I was vice president in being active in a role as vice president in carrying out the roles of the members of the board of directors. And so now the president, you know, as I'm trying to execute that, is looking a little bit different than it did before. So is the executive director. And so as far as hiring decisions, because we abdicated our role of the executive director to the executive director, that is the domain of the executive director, but we do have input on that. And so what I hear now is that the positions that are open they need to be opened more to membership, for membership to be able to apply for those. And I think Terry Galgano is one of the people that is in membership, applied for the position, and is now our membership coordinator. I'll just say I'll carry that forward to the board, and I will see what we can, how we can influence that as we go through future hiring.
All right.
Okay. We got time for one more question.
Brian, just one? Harris.
Yes.
Come on, Brian.
Okay. All right. I am going to piggyback off of your previous answer. You said that you were the executive CEO of the BVA. So everything has to go for you to get approval, correct?
No, not necessarily. I'm an executive officer, but that doesn't mean I'm the boss as far as having to approve everything that happens. I have the board actively engaged in what I think, if there's something that comes across my desk, per se, and I want that to be part of what happens in BVA, I've assumed a position where I make proposals.
But the
and board, those proposals go to the board of directors
but the
for
board
final approval. Directors,
like you said,
yeah.
The board of directors have the overall approval of who to hire and who to fire, correct?
No, the executive director does.
We
are entitled to input in that process.
No, when did the executive director veto the president? That's like the Secretary of State telling the President of the United States that you have no say-so in how the country runs, correct?
No, but if you're gonna model the federal government, then you know there is a system of checks and balances. So nobody is, you know, technically the ultimate boss. You know, the Supreme Court can overrule the president.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep.
And so, you know, our organization is set up similarly in that there is a system of checks and balances. And if not one person, even me as president, that is the ultimate boss, and everything I say goes. And so I work in conjunction with the executive director. I work in conjunction with the board of directors. And so I am more of a go-between than I am a top dog.
My next question is, you said you formed a new team BVA, correct?
I took the term team BVA and I turned it into the committee that I described, yes.
Okay, but the members on this forum have been to Adaptive Adventures to get them outside of the house and out of the BRCs, to get them to broaden their horizons. Have you included those as well in your program?
Yeah. In fact, one of the programs that's involved in Team BVA is the one that Anthony is the chair of, which is Adaptive Sports and Recreation.
Is that Anthony Woodson?
Yeah.
Anthony Woodson, yes. He's the chair of the Adaptive Sports and Recreation program. He sits on Team BVA. He has submitted a budget for approval, and he is determining what sports events will be sponsored by BVA in terms of Adaptive Sports and Recreation activities. There are other activities in which BVA members are participating, like the Winter Sports Clinic. BVA doesn't run that. And so BVA does interface with the VA in the golf tournament, the Winter Sports Clinic, and some other events that VA has taken over. We're working in conjunction with those, and so is Anthony. But we're looking at events that we can produce as BVA through Team BVA's Adaptive Sports and Recreation program.
Okay. Final question. So you spoke about us going on Capitol Hill and doing testimonies going to every senator's office, beating on their doors, giving our 5-minute testimonies before you did your testimony. The question that I have is, I am a member of three of those organizations that you were with, the VFW, WWF, and the Paralyzed Veterans of America. The question right. that I have, because when you were with me last year, we had to sit there for 20 minutes for them to wheel out maybe 100 wheelchairs before we presented. The question that I have was, how many—
We did it this year too.
How many BVA members were present when you did your testimony, sir?
I have no idea. Because we didn't necessarily talk to people that were local about coming, but there is no prohibition to attending. So the board of directors was there. There were some members of staff that were there. And there were some other members that lived locally in the area that attended. I just don't know who they were.
Thank you, sir.
But all right. if you listen to the video of my testimony, there were more than 10 supporters there that applauded after I delivered my testimony, right?
I have no idea, sir. I have zero vision.
I think you'll have an idea if you listen to it, that there were more than 10 people applauding. But so we did have supporters there. I just don't— they didn't come up to me and say, "Hi, Paul, I was at your testimony," nor did I come up to them and say, "I want you to come to this testimony," or just, "You're supposed to be here."
Mr. President, Paul, yes. Mims, this is David King, the host. And I just—
Hi, David.
Are you? I don't have a question for you because we got to wrap up our time together tonight, but I appreciate you.
I'm sorry about that.
And sharing the information that you have shared with us, and the updates and upkeeps of what you're doing. If there's a chance that we can bring you back for more updated information later on, we'd sure like to have you, but we'll give you some time to, you know, get some of the work done. This organization—
you're breaking up pretty bad, but I got the gist of what you're trying to play.
Okay, can everybody hear me clear enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, you were breaking up. Go ahead.
Okay. But we appreciate you being on board with us and coming apart to answer questions as well as explain what's going on. And we look forward to seeing you and hearing some more about anything else that is updated in the future. Apparently, we didn't get every question out tonight that we probably wanted to, but we do thank everybody that did participate tonight and come on. This organization is basically probably trying to feed into the BVA to make sure that we're assisting BVA veterans in all over the world, that we can help them with any way we possibly can through adaptive equipment, as you talked about recently, some of the adaptive equipment that people gain. So our purpose is to help and assist with these people. And when I say these people, I'm talking about veterans who are low vision or visually impaired in this world today. So we really mm-hmm. thank you for coming on, and anything that you can offer us and help us with along the way that would be an asset to us, we appreciate it if you could do that. Excuse me. And go ahead.
I will say I would benefit from an explanation. I'll get a hold of Ray and find out exactly what you're trying to do, and I'll have a better idea of how we might be able to feed back into BVO from BVA.
Sure.
Okay. Well, we definitely thank you for coming on tonight, and look forward to seeing you and hear more about what's going on in the future. I wanted to say just this few things that we thank you, every one of you who participated tonight, who come on and participated. Thank you for muting your mics and not being an interruption while Paul was talking. Paul, you're a great speaker. We thank you for advocating for us.
Thank you.
We thank you for advocating for us veterans who don't know, you know, there's some things that we're not legislated. We're not anything of those natures, but we're glad somebody is representing the veterans and blind and low vision veterans and so forth. Our next meeting will be on May the 9th. It's the second Thursday of each month. We haven't picked out our guest speaker or our demonstration because basically we do have conversations as well as demonstrations of products or adaptive tools that we normally use. And so we want to make sure we're, you know, getting a chance to do all of what we said we're going to do right here on this spot. And if we're not able to do it here, we'll be able to do it on a remotely kind of way. So if there are no any questions or any comments left for anyone, by the way, you can contact us on the nbvo.org. And then we have a annex page, which explains what a BRC is all about and some other products of adaptive equipment that you might want to be able to, people some will be using. So a little bit more information on our annex page about that. On our webpage, we give you all the information we need as far as connection and becoming a member of the NBVO. Any questions? Anyone have any questions left? Just a quick reminders or anything?
All right. I have one quick reminder. I'm understanding that a big thrust of what you're trying to do is promoting the use and acquisition of adaptive technology.
Absolutely.
Okay. I want to make sure everybody then is aware of our Vet Tech series that we produce as BVA.
Right.
And if anybody is interested in getting the information on that, like what's going to be happening on those, you can subscribe to BVA's newsletter called BVA Happenings that comes out every Friday.
Yeah,
So simply send an email to info. Or better yet, even send an email to bva@bva.org and say, I want to get the newsletter and other information.
All right.
And you'll be signed up, and then you'll get, when it comes out every week, you'll be getting a copy.
That doesn't come to people automatically as they become members?
As they become members, yes. But the problem has been, we have a lot of members that have email, and they didn't give the BVA their email address, so they couldn't get it.
I see. So it's something new, it's automated.
You know, including their email address, and they're signed up. But some of the current members and previous members, they're not signed up because they didn't want to give BVA their email address. So if spread the word. If people aren't getting the BVA happenings, that's why. So send an email to bva@bva.org, and you'll start getting the BVA happenings and other email releases that we have as information going out.
Okay. Fair enough. In the future we can tie the VTech. Maybe in the future we can tie the VTech up with the rest of it and move forward from there. So thank you again for coming on.
I don't see why not.
You're
welcome.
We're kind of working in the same page, same field, same mission. Is to help people accomplish and show them how to use what they have. All right.
Right.
Well, everyone, I thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, all the board members who was on tonight and all of the guests who came on along with us. Appreciate you. Look forward to us next month on May the 9th. We'll be back again, and we'll have some great illustrations and presenters at that time. I thank you all again.
I want to thank all the newcomers, the first timers. It was amazing to see all of your faces today.
Yeah, it was great to have the room filled up, and we like to do that on an often basis. We like to do that every month. So we encourage you to become members of the NBVO if you can.
It's free.
It's free. Nothing costly. So with that being said, we've lost a few people because they had to leave. I know some of them said they had to leave. So we can also do the same thing at this point in time. If everyone's ready to do so, I thank you all again for being on.
Good night.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. Take care. Good night. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.
And I just want to say hello to Keith Helmsley if he's still on.
Keith, you still there?
I think he took off.
Yeah because he had one of his meetings. He had a meeting too.
Yep, I know he stays busy. All right.
All right.
Thanks to all of you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's like